is good.
Amen.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen.
Church, we ought to be happy to shake Brother Thompson's hand after the services are over, for he's doing a wonderful job. And I want to say thank you to him as well as to Brother Miles, who volunteered him very early on. I'm going to make an announcement right now that may not be that popular with some, but I'm going to make the announcement anyway. The nursery is for people with babies or small children, and if you're sick. It's not meant for you to have worship, to be in worship service out in the nursery. So I'm going to ask the ladies, unfortunately men don't have one, so I'm going to ask the ladies, if you're not nursing your child and you're not sick, please come out of the nursery and come into the auditorium. You make me think that you don't like my preaching if you stay back in there all the time. So, with that, we can continue to move forward. This morning, we're going to talk about a subject that we've talked about before. We're going to talk from something that you've probably heard some of it before. Nevertheless, I believe it's something that we need to concentrate on, and I'll basically tell you that this message is for us today, church. It's for us in the church. It's for us of the church. It's for us here at Stony Island. And the subject this morning is helping the church to grow.
Amen.
Before we go any further, though, let us go to God in prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be here today. We have been blessed because you blessed us to be here. And we thank you, O Lord. Lord, we come praying for those who are sick and shut in and unable to be with us. Please give us and move us with the right spirit and the right frame of mind, O Heavenly Father, that we would contact the sick and the shut in and wish them well. Let them know that you are pulling, let them know that we are pulling for them. And let us all be as brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, we thank you this morning for the leaders of the congregation. We thank you for the brethren of this congregation and for both of their families as well. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your Son Jesus, who came to this world simply to give his life on a ransom cross. We thank you, O Lord, for his gift to us, salvation. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all of those who are here this morning, and we pray for those who have been unable to make it. We pray and ask you for those who still may be attempting to get here, that they would get here safely. We pray and ask you, O Heavenly Father, to bless each and every member in this congregation and their family members. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the right that you give us as Christians to worship your Son in spirit and in truth. We have this opportunity, and we want to thank you, O Lord. Father, we pray for those who run our lives politically speaking, O Lord, that they not hinder us from our ability to worship you, O Heavenly Father, by passing laws that would prevent us or prohibit us from worshiping you. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the soldiers all over the world, and we thank you for those who protect, guard, and keep us, O Heavenly Father. And Lord, as we come on behalf of all of those who love you, we thank you as well. Father, we pray for the people who lost their homes and lost their buildings and even those who lost their lives in the tornado of the last few days. We thank you and pray for them, O Heavenly Father, that they may find solace in you, O Lord. We thank you for everything that you do for us, O Lord, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we say amen. Every so often we need to revisit the subject of church so as we are to know where we are headed and if we are headed in the right direction. If we are following the pattern set before us in the Bible, we need to continue to do that. We need to get back to basics. Therefore, we need to understand and from time to time review biblical-based principles. So if you hear something you have heard before, it is simply a reminder of the ways and means of what we need the church to be as it and what we need to do it to make the church as it should be. In its simplest form, we ask the question, what does the word church mean? Well, it means, from the Greek word ekklesia, it means the called out. Those who come together to worship Christ and learn of His Word. We learn to come together as a church. If we were having a dinner, let's say, we would all come together because we all love to eat. If we were having a program of some sort, which we don't have, if we were having a program of some sort, we would all come together to try to make that program a success. But we don't have programs like that. So this morning, we are going to concentrate on helping the church to grow and what we need to do. In order to make the needs of a strong church, we may take our first lesson from the day of Pentecost. We find in Acts chapter 2, look at Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, if you will. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, when we come to this one place, we come to church, we should all be in the same frame of mind. We should all be on the same accord. We're here to worship God in spirit and in truth. This verse gives us to know that they were all with that one accord and they were in one place. They had one thing in mind, and that was to teach Jesus and Him crucified. The whole church needs to be committed to working for the Lord. Not just a few members, not just one or two members, for one or two members can't do everything that the church needs to have done. If I told you I was going fishing, there should be no doubt in your mind that I needed a fishing pole. There should be no doubt in my mind that I need a fishing pole and whatever else a fisher person needs to be successful at catching fish. So it is with the church. In order to grow the church, we need to have the members working together. In other words, we all need to be united together in one accord. We are to become fishers of men. And anyone who runs a business understands that they need to take inventory every now and then so that they may know where they stand and determine the reasons for their shortcomings and also to defend their strong points so that they may continue in the right way. So it is with the church. We need to know where we are strong, where we are weak, and where we need to improve at. When a fisherman goes out to fish, his intention is that of catching not one fish, but a few fish or more fish. And a really sincere fisherman knows that in order to catch the big ones, he needs a boat to go out a little further from the shore. Church folk need to understand in this life, others, we need to know how to bring others to Christ. We need to know the Word of God well enough to get them to believe and come to church. We need to understand and be like Romans 1 and verse number 16 teaches us. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Without Christ, there would be no salvation. Without us, the Word of God cannot be spread as wide as it can be with us. We need to know where and what is the gospel. Well, you can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we must all share a portion of the burden of growing the church. If we see a piece of paper on the floor, instead of complaining about how the paper got there or how long it's been there, we need to reach down and pick it up. Don't worry about, I'm not the cleaning person. Don't worry about, that's not my job. It's all of our jobs to have the sanctuary looking nice and decent and conducive to bring guests in. Don't get caught up in little things, but consider yourself as a part of the big picture, and the big picture is that of worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. Since we are all working for the spreading of the gospel and the growing of the church, we ought to work on it together. Isn't that right, church? We must be a strong church. We must be a truth-loving church. In Acts chapter 4, look at the text. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you remember that on that day of Pentecost, the preacher's message was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? But I want you to notice verse number 41 of Acts chapter 2. It says, now they were glad, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a day that must have been when over 3,000 souls got baptized. What a day that was. They all gladly received the word and were baptized. We must encourage those who don't know Christ to accept God's word and to come to the watery grave of baptism that they may put on Christ. Then we must continue. Look at verse number 42, if you will. Verse 42 said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. In other words, when we get them to church, we don't let them go. When we get them baptized, we don't let them go. We are to encourage them to be continue steadfastly. Tell them to be stable in the Word of God because it is the truth. And a church that teaches truth will have a membership that loves truth. Do you remember what Proverbs 23 says? It says, buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, when you learn the truth, just hold on to it. Don't waver when it comes to the truth. For how can you encourage others to believe and love the truth if you don't believe and trust in it yourself? In John chapter 8 and verse number 32, the Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from lies. Free from sin. Because we have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. If the church is to grow, we all have to put forth some effort. And yes, I'll tell you now, sometimes our best efforts may yield little or no fruit at all. Do you remember when the disciples went fishing and they fished all night long, but they didn't catch anything? They had the ship. There was nothing wrong with the ship. They had the net. There was nothing wrong with the net. They had a sea which was full of fish. There was nothing wrong with that. Yet despite all of these things being right, the real issue with all of these things, sometimes we leave out the most important element of all. That is the truth. Jesus is truth. In John chapter 15, in round verse number 5, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. There will always be those of whom we will never get converted. No matter how hard the membership tries, there will be those we cannot bring to Christ. We sometimes must do as the Bible says, shake the dust off and just keep going. You know, you can spend a lifetime talking to something, and I vouch for that because I've told you before and I don't mind letting you know. I was at one point in my life where I hated to hear somebody was going to come and talk to me. I would leave out of one door as they came in the other door because I didn't want to hear it. But that was all in the past. I just thank God that He allowed me to stay here long enough to get it together. So we've got to understand that the church may never be completely full, but that don't mean that we stop trying to recruit new members. That don't mean that we don't try to get new membership or get new blood in the church. But don't blame it on somebody else because the church is not growing. Don't blame it on the preacher because the church is not growing. Don't blame it on the elders because the church is not growing. Don't blame it on the other members. Blame yourself sometime, because I remember an old saying that said, that goes something like this. If you're not part of the solution, you guess what? You're part of the problem. And if you can't help to grow the church, then I ask this question. Why are you here? The best way we can help the church to grow, we must become a sacrificing church. We must sacrifice of our time, sacrifice of our efforts, and our service to God. Look at verse number 47 of Acts chapter 2. The Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you go out and get them, the Lord will add them. But we got to get them in. And sometimes getting them in is the problem. Sometimes getting them in, because I say sometimes we don't know how to get them in. And I'm not saying that you're supposed to go out there and just spill out your guts, but you're supposed to give it your best if you want the church to grow. If you want the church to grow, don't leave it at the door of somebody else. Open your door and step out and on faith and get it done as well. When we sacrifice, as in Acts 2:47 there, when we praise God and have favor with all the people, and the Lord will add daily to the church such as should be saved. We must call upon God to provide us with what we need to win others to Himself. We must continue to praise God in our daily walk. Like the early church, we must love one another. We must be kind to one another. We must love and encourage others, so that if I were a stranger and I walked in the doors of the church, I should be able to see and feel love and encouragement. I shouldn't have to tell you, you shouldn't have to tell me at the back door, we love everybody that comes in the door. Show me. Don't tell me, but show me. Love should be evident in all of the church. Love should be evident in all of the members. It shouldn't be a hidden commodity. I should be able to both see it and feel it. Large numbers, I can tell you, large numbers look good, but a God-fearing church is not determined by the number of members, but by the truth that it teaches, by the love it shows, and by the word it follows. How can we make sure that we're in the right way? Well, we can ask some questions, for instance. Do more of us do good for the sick, or do good unto the sick? Are we helping the sick? Let us do more for the sick. Let us do more to help those in need. Let us speak to one another with kindness and encouragement. And most of all, let us give more. Let us give that we might continue to be as good givers of men, and that men may follow us. The church can never grow until we all become workers. No church can move forward until we can come together as workers for the Lord, or fishers of men, in other words. We must not become discouraged when we don't seem to be growing. And I'm not saying anybody is discouraged, don't get me wrong, but if you are, then I am talking to you. We're not to be discouraged when we don't seem to be growing. Remember what Jesus told the disciples after they had been fishing all night and not catching anything? They were probably frustrated. They were probably fed up with themselves. But what they did is the same thing we must do when they heard the Master. We must hear the Master. The Master told them in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 5 to launch out into the deep and throw down their net to catch fish. We must go further to win some souls than we do for others. And we must go on faith. What happened to all of the disciples? Well, they caught so many fish it almost tipped the boat over. And if we want to win souls, we must all work at it. Not just one or two of us, but all of us must work at it to win souls. The lesson for us is simple. In Luke chapter 5 in the B clause of verse number 10, it says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." We gotta believe that. I know what it looks like sometimes when you walk in the auditorium. You can count on one hand the members that might be sitting in the pews. But eventually, they will come. Eventually, they do come. We must become fishers of men in order to help the church to grow. We must trust in Jesus. We must roll up our sleeves and go out and go to work. Not call upon others alone, but helping out one another. Remember in Acts chapter 2 what it says in verse number 1 there? They were all with one accord in one place. And look at verse number 44 as well. Verse number 44 says, "And all that believed were together and had all things in common." Now when we have all things in common, that means I'm not pushing and you're pulling. That means we're both pushing or we're both pulling. And we can pull in more to Christ if we work together. In order to grow, we must trust in Jesus and continue to roll up our sleeves and continue to work. The church will never go out of business until the Lord says so. Oh yes, a branch here and there might shutter its doors, but the church of Christ is here to stay. So when the crowd gets small, when the members are few, the church is still the only place to be. We must learn to be all in or all out, not halfway in and halfway out. This is how you help the church to grow, when we have all things in common. Look at the verse again in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. "And on the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting." The Holy Spirit will work in us if we allow it to. Then again in verse number 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now I can't picture that. I don't know if you can picture that. If 3,000, but I would accept 4. If 4 would come forward and say they wanted to be baptized on any given Sunday, that would be satisfying. That should be satisfying to all of us. If you can just get 3 or 4 to get baptized each and every Sunday, wouldn't it be wonderful? You know, we sing that song, "Won't It Be Wonderful," there, but we've got to get there first. And once we can make sure that we're on the right road to getting there, we can tell others about Jesus Christ. We can tell others about how good God is. Do you realize, or do you actually take time to think how really good God is to us? I mean, do you ask yourself, "Lord, why are you so good to me when I'm not as good to myself as you are?" Do you ask yourself the question early on in the morning when you get up? Do you ask yourself, "How did I get up?" And then you say to yourself, some of us say to ourselves, "Well, I got tired of sleeping, so I got up." That's not true. God woke you up. He allowed you to get up. And he allowed you to be on your way. Now, when I left home this morning, I didn't eat breakfast. But that wasn't because God didn't provide me anything to eat. That was my choice, that I didn't eat breakfast. And it's the same way with growing the church. If you don't go out and go to work and try to get somebody to come into the church, That's you. That's on you. It's your responsibility to help the church to grow. Each and every one of us, and somebody might say, well, preacher, I'm too old now. I can't walk up and down the street. Well, get on the telephone. Call somebody. And when you call somebody, ask them how well they know the Lord. And tell them how well you know the Lord. And tell them how good God is. And when you continue to do this, you might find a reward in store for you. A reward of more coming to the Lord. When I think about it, more and more I think about it. When I come in the church building, and I open the doors of the auditorium, and I look in the auditorium, and I see the faces of the crowd in the auditorium. Of course I'd like to see more. I'd like to see the pews filled from here all the way to where I sit there in the back. I'd like to see the balcony get full. I'd like to see all the church grow. I'd like to see both sides filled up. But you know something? I can't make it happen by myself. You can't make it happen by yourself. We've got to roll up our sleeves and pull together to grow the church. And when you grow the church, don't just start patting yourself on the back. Let somebody else know how easy it was to grow the church. Let somebody else know what you did to help grow the church and encourage them to help grow the church. And then most of all, show love to one another. Show love to one another in the sense that they will feel loved enough to go out and say, I'm going to do the same thing brother or sister so-and-so did. And when you become a fisher of men, and I individualize it when I said you become a fisher of men, you might encourage me to go out and do better. You might encourage any number of people to go out and do better. So when you, now we're gonna have family day. Now that means that you bring your family or somebody into the family of God with you, into the Lord's house with you. But don't wait until we have family day to bring someone to church with you. Encourage someone to come with you on any given Sunday, because we meet every single Sunday. Upon the first day of the week, we come together. And we should have a crowd with us. You know, I sometimes wonder when people think about the Lord, what are your thoughts? Do you think, well, Lord, you left me here just to sit around and do nothing, or did you leave me here to go to work? And I think that if you're a Christian, you will find that you need to be at work, hard at work. You know, you see the signs on the street when the men are down in the sewer, they got a sign that says, men at work. That's what we need to be. We need to be at work. We need to be trying our best to grow the church. And I said when I first started out that this message was for us. And it was. And it is. It's for us. Now, everybody else can listen to it, but I was speaking directly to us. Because we need to work together. We need to have all things in one accord. We need to be all together on this. When we continue on in the Word of God, we will find that everybody will be happy one day. If you live right, you can make it in the gate. So how do I do that? Well, if you're not already a member, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And I know the water is ready. I know the water is ready. And if you've done that already, you've been to the watery grave of baptism, but you walked astray. You ask the Lord to forgive you, to ask the church to pray for you. As you come forward and ask the church to pray for you, let the church know. Turn around and face the church. I always encourage you to face the church when you're talking to the church. Let the church know. You don't have to tell us what you've done, But let us know that you want us to pray for you. And the prayers of the righteous avail as much. Somebody in here can get a prayer up. Somebody in here can get a prayer through. I'm not calling any names because I don't know, but I'm just saying somebody can get a prayer through. So if this is your desire, we together stand and sing the song of invitation.